Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
A call for a return to peace talks for Gaza, and a suicide bomber in Baghdad strikes with deadly accuracy. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington. Egypt is calling for Israelis and Palestinians to accept a permanent ceasefire and return to indirect talks in Cairo. The call from Egypt's foreign ministry came after Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met today in Cairo with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. Palestinian officials say they will consider the appeal. Israel has not responded. Earlier today, an Israeli airstrike hit a house in central Gaza, killing five family members, including two children. The United Nations says more than 2,090 Palestinians have died since the violence started July 8th, including close to 500 children. Israel has lost 64 soldiers and four civilians. German Chancellor Angela Merkel met with Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko in Kiev today to discuss tensions with Russia. Earlier, 200 trucks and a Russian aid convoy reversed course and returned to Russia after entering Ukraine without permission, VOA's Gabe Joslow reports.
More than 200 white trucks left Ukraine after making a stop in the city of Luhansk, which is occupied by pro-Russian separatists. The unauthorized Russian sojourn rankled officials in Ukraine, who said they were only able to inspect a few of the trucks before their crossing, and insisted that any Russian-donated aid be distributed by the International Committee of the Red Cross. In the city of Kramatorsk, Ukraine, a spokesman for the so-called anti-terror operations, Oleksiy Dmytrovsky, accused Russia of using the convoy to bring more supplies to rebels and to cover the tracks of their alleged involvement in the conflict. One of their missions was to take away dead Russian fighters, he said, adding that they also are stealing machine components and parts produced only in Ukraine.
And that was Gabe Joslow, VOA News. Iraqi security officials say a suicide bomber rammed a vehicle into an interior ministry building in Baghdad today, killing at least eight people and wounding several others. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack on the ministry's intelligence headquarters. The incident comes shortly after the Speaker of Iraq's parliament said an investigation is underway into Friday's attack on a Sunni Muslim mosque that killed scores of people and escalated sectarian violence. The Speaker told reporters an investigative team has 2 days to find those responsible. Fresh fighting in India and Pakistan along their disputed border. At least four civilians have been killed and several others wounded on both sides. Tensions appear to have escalated after New Delhi this week called off long-awaited diplomatic talks with Islamabad. Ayaz Ghul reports from the Pakistan capital.
Indian and Pakistani authorities are blaming each other for starting the border clashes in violation of a mutual ceasefire in the divided Kashmir region. Senior Indian security officials say their forces retaliated after Pakistani troops fired guns and mortar rounds Saturday morning on a dozen Indian border posts and nearby villages. The hostilities, they claim, have killed and wounded several civilians. Indian authorities say over 3,000 villagers have also been evacuated to safe areas. Army officials in Pakistan are reporting deaths of at least two villagers and injuries to many others, including women on their side of the disputed Kashmir border. Ayaz Ghul for VOA News, Islamabad.
Officials in Nigeria say the Ebola virus in the country has, for the first time, spread to people who did not have direct contact with the country's first victim, widening the circle of those infected. Nigeria's health minister announced Friday two more people were confirmed to have Ebola, and neither have had direct contact with Patrick Sawyer, the infected Liberian-American who brought the disease into Lagos. The health minister says the new patients are spouses of those who worked in medical treatment. The U.S. Defense Department says a Chinese fighter jet has conducted a dangerous intercept with a U.S. warplane off the coast of China, according to Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby.
This also means that it took...
We have registered our strong concerns to the Chinese about the unsafe and unprofessional intercept, which posed a risk to the safety and the well-being of the air crew and was inconsistent with customary international law.
The Chinese jet made several close passes coming within 10 meters of the U.S. Navy jet. And the National Zoo here in Washington, D.C. is marking a milestone for its star attraction. Today is panda cub Bao Bao's first birthday. The zoo and the Chinese embassy celebrated with a traditional Dra Zhou ceremony in which the baby is presented with symbolic objects. Bao Bao chose peaches. I'm Marty Johnson reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. I'm Douglas Mpoga.
And I'm Odette Frazier. Thanks for joining us.
People from those countries to be traveling. South Africans don't have to travel to those countries at this point in time until we advise otherwise.
South Africa bans travel to and from the Ebola-stricken West African nations.
It is a year earlier from December 2015 when the African standby force is supposed to become fully operational.
10 East African countries have pledged 5,000 troops to a new regional standby force for deployment by December.
We talked about issues around accountability, issues about leaders not wanting to leave power and the implication that he has on good governance and accountability.
And former Mozambican President Joachim Chissano blames African leaders that overstay in office for compromising good governance and democratic reforms. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa.
South Africa has banned travel to and from the Ebola-stricken nations of Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone, echoing a move by Kenya last week. South African health officials say they have also implemented screening and treatment measures for visitors and that they have yet to see any evidence of the deadly virus. From Johannesburg, VOA's Anita Powell spoke to a health department official and brings us this report.
South Africa is closing its ports of entry to travelers from three nations hit hardest by the deadly Ebola virus: Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Of the three, Liberia has been hardest hit, with the World Health Organization estimating that 90% of Ebola deaths have happened there. Nigeria, which has also seen more than a dozen Ebola cases, is not at this time on the banned list. South Africa's health minister announced the move this week. South African Health Department spokesman Joe Mela says South African citizens will be allowed to return home from those countries, but only after they are carefully screened for signs of the deadly virus. He says South Africans wishing to go to any of those countries will be quizzed by immigration officials at the airport and asked to postpone the trip unless it is truly urgent.
We don't want people from those countries to be traveling. South Africans don't have to travel to those countries at this point in time until we advise otherwise.
The move contradicts a WHO guideline issued earlier this week that recommends that countries not ban air travel or trade, a move that could further marginalize the affected nations and disrupt already delicate economies. The WHO notes that the risk of contracting Ebola during a flight is low, and that the disease is spread through contact with bodily fluid. WHO also noted that the virus is not contagious until symptoms appear, and that by that point, those infected would be too obviously ill to travel. The international health body lists the symptoms as fever, weakness, muscle pain, headache, and sore throat, followed by vomiting, diarrhea, rash, and in some cases, bleeding. Mela says so far South Africa has seen no confirmed cases of Ebola. Two suspected cases have been identified in the past month, but both patients ultimately tested negative.
We do not have such cases of Ebola in South Africa, and we are doing everything that we can to make sure that indeed we prevent the virus from coming into South Africa. And we have made sure that all our ports of entry are equipped enough to make sure that screening is done, it's on high alert, and we shall continue to do so.
South Africa is not the only nation taking such measures. A week ago, Kenyan officials issued a similar edict. This move effectively closes off two of the continent's busiest air transport hubs, Johannesburg's O.R. Tambo International Airport and Nairobi's Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The situation remains tense in the Liberian capital after authorities quarantined two large suburbs there this week. The government says it is trying to stop Ebola from spreading further in Monrovia, but people stuck inside the barricaded areas say they're getting hungry and restless. A VOA reporter accompanied government officials donating food and supplies to one of the communities Friday. Anne Luke has the story with reporting in Dolo Town by Prince Collins.
It's just 2 days into the quarantine in Dolo Town, and life is already getting difficult. Food prices are going up. A 25-kilo sack of rice that would normally sell for $25 is now $40. Residents are worried.
As I speak to you, even minimal sack of water, we're buying it $250. Team prices are going way or how to go move forward to survive.
The government gave no advance notice of the quarantine. Residents woke up Wednesday to police putting up checkpoints and makeshift barricades. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has ordered no one to go in or out of Dolo Town or the West Point slum, also located outside the capital. She said the measure is intended to check the spread of Ebola in the capital. Authorities say more than 20 people who have died in Dolo Town recently are suspected to have had the virus. There is a holding center for suspected cases there, but no treatment center. Residents say the quarantine is not the answer.
We want to have the Ebola test conducted in our community so we can be free and move in and out. Because I will not continue to live in a cave that I cannot go this way, I cannot go that way. Then I'm very much disappointed with the kind of situation. I'm not used to living in a kind of situation.
Families don't keep large stocks of food at home in these mostly low-income areas. In West Point, the quarantine sparked a panic. Residents trying to venture out to buy food Wednesday clashed with security forces, leaving at least one person dead. The teenage boy was shot by police. Defense Ministry spokesman David Don was in Dolo Town Friday to assess the situation.
They are cooperating. We are very pleased. It is not about war between any of our citizens and any authority. So we are not concerned about who is winning or who is losing. They are cooperating and we are getting there. We are very pleased.
Newly opened Ebola treatment centers in Monrovia are already filled to overflowing. But the World Health Organization is also warning of what it says is a possible invisible caseload of patients. The WHO says people in Liberia and Sierra Leone continue to hide their sick family members, either denying they have Ebola or simply wishing to let their loved ones die at home. Ebola is spread through close contact with the bodily fluids of a sick person, making those who care for patients susceptible to the virus. Liberia is now reporting more deaths and more cases than any other affected country. Senator Clarice Jah of Margibi County, where Dolo Town is located, urged residents to follow health recommendations.
You love your mom? If your mom comes down with it, please do all you can to be able to rush your mom to the nearest area detection hall. If your child or your partner, whoever it is, I've come to encourage you, I've come to build your hope.
Senator Jah was among the government officials who donated sacks of rice and beans and plastic buckets for hand washing to residents there Friday. People at the distribution said the donated goods were nowhere near enough for the area's some 30,000 residents. Anne Luck, VOA News, Dakar.
And still on Ebola in West Africa, coming from the Center for Disease Control, here are some suggestions to prevent the Ebola virus from spreading.
Avoid physical contact with people showing symptoms, continuous high fever, red eyes, vomiting, and stomach ache.
Wash hands thoroughly and frequently, including under the fingernails. Use soap and clean water. Use hand sanitizer if soap is not available.
Use gloves when taking care of infected patients. Cook all animal food and byproducts thoroughly. Avoid bushmeat.
Wear protective clothing and gloves when handling animals. Do not touch anyone who has died from Ebola. In other news, defense chiefs from 10 East African countries have pledged a total of 5,000 troops to a new regional standby force for deployment by December. Rwanda's army spokesman says the officials made the pledges at a meeting in Kigali. For VOA, Nick Long has more on the plans for this rapid reaction force.
The African Union has been working on a plan for 10 years for each of the continent's regions to have its own peacekeeping force on standby in case of emergencies. The AU is aiming for all of the forces to be in place by December 2015, but some regions are more advanced than others. The East African region's heads of state, 10 of whom are signed up to the plan, decided in June that they want their regional standby force to be operational by December of this year. Rwanda's military spokesman, General Joseph Nzabamwita, tells VOA why the goal was moved forward.
It is a year earlier from December 2015 when the African standby force is supposed to become fully operational. So the East African standby force heads of state decided that due to the insecurity that is prevailing in the Eastern Africa region, the member countries need to take urgent steps.
In the past year, war has broken out in South Sudan and conflict has spread to Kenya's coastal region, while in the past month, security has deteriorated in Somalia. And Nzabamwita says the heads of state send army and police chiefs and defence ministers to a troop-pledging meeting in Kigali this week, where the target number of troops and police has been agreed to.
The force pledging as regards the main forces were all realised as regards to a force of 5,000 men. We also pledged four formed up police units of between 140 and 170. So we got all the troops that we wanted and the police forces that we wanted to put at the disposal of the organization to be able to deploy at any one time.
And Nzabamwita said Burundi has pledged a battalion of light infantry, Uganda, Ethiopia and Rwanda have each pledged a motorized battalion and Kenya a mechanized battalion, while Comoros, Djibouti and Somalia are each contributing a squadron or company. The Rwandan Defence Minister, General James Kabarebe, told defence chiefs at the meeting on Friday that they have a short time frame within which to get the force ready. The East African plan, says Nzabamwita, is for each member state to contribute to a fund which should enable the regional force to put boots on the ground in a crisis zone within 14 days, if necessary. Thereafter, he suggested, other donors' help would be needed to maintain operations, but the region should put up its own funding initially. It's intended to hold an EASF funding conference with donors in the first half of next year.
Once we have the funding, then you are assured of sustainability. And the most important thing is that the leaders are planning to ensure that member states contribute and donors. So we can only wish that we get all the support and get the finances as soon as possible.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Samantha Power said last month that regional organizations in Africa are playing a more central role in peacekeeping than ever before, and that as they step forward, they deserve full support. Nick Long for VOA News, Kigali.
Former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano says African leaders should not overstay in office as this compromises good governance and democratic reforms in most nations. Mr. Chissano told more than 600 delegates today attending the ongoing 15th annual general meeting and conference of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, Lawyers Association, that some African leaders want to die in office once they're elected by the people. He said this resulted in serious corruption in other countries and lack of transparency in running governments. Mr. Chissano, Mozambican president from 1986 to 2005, is credited with transforming the war-torn country into one of the most successful African democracies. Chissano is a recipient of the Mo Ibrahim Award for promoting good governance in Africa. His former counterpart, President Robert Mugabe, has been in power for more than 34 years. The overall meeting and conference theme is strengthening the rule of law and good governance in the SADC region, a call for transparent government and accountable leadership. One of the delegates, Zimbabwe Chimga of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that Chissano's remarks were warmly welcomed by the SADC lawyers at the conference, which ends tomorrow.
We've got all the member states represented here. And, you know, we get together each and every year to talk about issues that affect the rule of law and issues around good governance and issues around the legal profession and generally issues affecting the political issues that are of interest to lawyers in the Southern African region.
So what are the issues that we have discussed so far?
Well, the key theme that we're running with this year is centering around issues of rule of law and accountability. And as you can imagine, the key speakers who are here have been hammering on that. The keynote address was given by Honorable Chissano, the former president of Mozambique. And we would know that he's a man who's a giant in the political arena of Africa, and he's a giant in terms of promoting democracy and good governance. And these are the kind of things that was hammering on issues around what leaders ought to do to ensure that their people live a better life. We talked about issues around accountability, issues about leaders not wanting to leave power, and the implication that he has on good governance and accountability. We also had the Minister of Justice, Honorable Mnangagwa, also speaking, and one of the key issues that came out of his speech was his keenness to ensure that the death penalty, at least in Zimbabwe, is eliminated.
That was Zimbabwe Chimga of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7 from Victoria Falls.
Media freedom is under attack in the African Kingdom of Swaziland, claim journalists who say they face constant harassment. The journalists from Africa's last absolute monarchy say the king has throttled the media to advance his own interests and protect his wealth in a nation with some of the world's highest rates of poverty, unemployment and AIDS. In Johannesburg, VOA's Anita Pearl met up with Swazi journalists for this report.
From the outside, the tiny landlocked nation of Swaziland looks like it has a disproportionate share of problems. According to a scathing report from the U.S.-based think tank Freedom House, 43% of Swazis live in chronic poverty, a quarter of adults have HIV, and life expectancy is a mere 48 years. But journalists and activists from Africa's last absolute monarchy say they are all but forbidden from publishing any stories that paint their country in a negative light. The nation's leadership underscored that point last month, when a prominent journalist and a human rights lawyer were sentenced to 2 years imprisonment for an article that criticized the judicial system. Journalist Mobile Lwatshwayo heads Media Workers Union of Swaziland and says journalists face strong pressure to censor their own work.
Journalists are expected to toe the line and only report positive messages about the country and about cultural activities, what is government doing for the people and all that, but they are expected to bury bad stories that can, like they say, paint the country badly outside.
Swazi Observer managing editor Mbongeni Bingo says he nearly lost his job over a 2009 article that he did not even write. His piece, he said, was a mere accounting of the king's fleet of luxury cars. But when media in neighboring South Africa got hold of the details, he says they spun it into a tale of an insensitive monarch who spends profligately on luxuries while his people starve.
It did get me into a lot of water, hot, hot water. I could have lost my job over it, and I'm grateful that I didn't. And it is one era of my career that I look at and say, I survived that bullet.
Like many people living in Swaziland, Bingo walks a tightrope between reverence for his king and his demand for basic freedoms.
I think our perspective when we publish those stories is partly to say, well, the king drives in such a car, befitting his status. So it's something that we hold the king in very high esteem in our country, and we also want to see that he gets what befits his status as a king. So if he gets a new car, the Swazi public must know that, okay, the king has this type of wheels because he's maybe one, let's say he deserves to have that kind of car.
But activist Mandla Lwatshwayo says while he respects the institution of the monarchy, he has no love for the current king. He says unshackling the media is the first step towards turning things around in Swaziland.
It will improve everyone's life. It will even improve the outlook of those in power, because they cannot wish away the voice of the ordinary people. It will also inform the world in terms of its engagement with Swaziland, not to actually avoid the real issues. So if the media was free, I think many people in Swaziland who are in power will have nowhere to hide. But right now they're able to ensure that nobody has information.
But Mobile Luachwayo, who also writes for The Observer, says despite the constraints upon her, there is no place she would rather be.
I want to be there when my country changes for the better. I want to be there when dissenting voices will not be suppressed. And I want to make sure that activism is allowed in Swaziland. And if I don't get the bullet, who will?
Until that day, she says, she waits and hopes. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
A special program created by the U.S. Botanic Garden in Washington gives young students a hands-on opportunity to learn about plants and the importance they play in our day-to-day lives. VOA reporter Julie Tabo recently followed a group of area school children as they discovered what it's like to be a botanist for a day.
This tree will have about 40 to 50 pods.
These middle school students from nearby Virginia are learning about the tree Theobroma cacao, the source of chocolate.
And inside, look at, what does it look like? It does, it looks just like corn on the cob, doesn't it?
During the presentation, they can touch and smell cacao beans and even get to taste a piece of chocolate.
From the time of a flower to the chocolate bar in the store, about a year.
The hands-on demonstration had an impact.
I learned that chocolate is made from nuts, like really big nuts, like a football.
I learned that chocolate comes out of trees, and I actually really did like the chocolate.
So this is what you guys are going to do today. It's called a Junior Botanist Backpack.
The students are participating in a special program at the U.S. Botanic Garden in Washington that's designed to teach them about plants.
You guys found it?
No.
Working in teams, they use booklets and tools from specially equipped backpacks to explore the conservatory.
3.5.
They measure bamboo, learn about rare and endangered species, and look for plants that can be found in a jungle. Many of the students see and smell things they've never experienced before.
I got to see some pineapple and papaya plants. It was fun and I liked it because I learned new things.
I like the cactus, like looking at the cactus and some plants that brought medicine and stuff. I was like, that was sweet. That was awesome.
So that's what you guys are in today. It's a greenhouse or sometimes called a conservatory.
Lee Kuykendall, the children's education specialist, says the program was deliberately designed to give the students an experience they would never forget.
At the Botanic Garden, we're always looking for ways to bring our plants alive for people, and especially for our younger visitors, where our food comes from, where medicine comes from, and to connect them with the magic of the plant world. The
bamboo. Educator right, Christina look. O'Brien appreciates and values the hands-on aspect of the program.
The kids are much more engaged when they get to be up, when they get to touch things, when they get to use a kit and explore.
Find the plant growing here.
That exploration was an inspiring experience for Jenny Martinez.
I want to be a botanist because it's like, it looks like fun because exploring plants and seeing what they do is like fun.
Well, they're different colors.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington. VOA.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impuga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America, and you're listening to Nightline Africa.
And see to come in the program, the Saturday Music Spot from our collection of music from across the continent. And shall have a commentary by Dr. Suleiman Nyang, Professor of African Studies and Comparative Politics at Howard University.
It's now time for a Saturday Music Spot, so sit back, relax, and enjoy.
She says she likes it when I stay. She says she don't want me to go. She says I always make her day. No, would you be my lover? No. She says she really likes my style. Seems like she wants to take it slow. Do anything to make her smile. Girl, would you be my lover? No. What am I to do? Tired of running around chasing you. I can never think of replacing you. Cause now you are defined. Baby, make up your mind. Hey, would you be my lover? Or love for four. This guy is feeling it in my soul. So would you be my lover? No. I'm doing things I've never done. I'm giving all I have to give. I'm feeling like I found the one. Say you'll be my lover, please. What am I to say? Tired of running around, no delay. Make you don't go look who your face. All this time you didn't waste, you gon' make me crazy. Would you be my lover? Cruise, won't know if you go do. I got one question for you. Are you gonna let me be the one? Are you gonna let me be the one? Are you gonna let me be the one? Baby, oh.
chose me to share this love in your world.
Yeah, come follow me, go get a little city feel you a lot more. So come be my own, but don't be me, cause they don't want to be my begin. But don't be me, cause they don't want to be my begin.
Them say them bad, but I swear them do nothing, no way. Them say them go throw me punch, but I swear them no reach, oh way. 20 man shall fall that day if you cross my lane, no way. All your man shall fall that day if you cross my lane. No, you're back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, get it right. Sarewa, sarewa gba, kugbeniwa. Baby girl, be soke, be sile, money go beniwa. Today na shalewa, tomorrow na Vanessa. I dey give many things, enough to go around. Even your girl go follow, come around. Star boy, queasy, the girl, them man. Yeah, yeah. Call all the sexy girls, come out one by one. Tall, short, fat or skinny, come out one by one. Yeah. Mr. Loverman, Mr. Giving you all you desire. No man test the boy, Mr. Giving you all you require. Them say them bad, but I swear them do nothing, no way. Them say them go throw me punch, but I swear them no reach, oh. 20 man shall fall that day if you cross my lane, no way. All your man shall fall that day if you cross my lane. No, you're back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat, open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod. Attention, stand. Don't wanna see nobody, darling. Stand up, get you. My guy know for me. Malik Berry upon this and I'm killing the beat. Fiki Fiki DJ put on repeat. In my world every day you say holy. Them real bad girls, them fall away. All of my guys get girls for free. When we turn up, the girls undress for we. Rose, Hennessy and the sex for free. The sexiest girl, come dance for me now. All of my guys get girls for free. When we turn up, the girls undress for we. Rose, Hennessy and the sex for free. The sexiest girl, come dance for me now. Open and close, touch your toes. Baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat. Open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat. Open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod, back to the mat. Open and close, touch your toes. Oh yeah, baby, oh yeah, yod. If you know you're feeling this spiritually, let me hear you say yeah, yeah.
Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Make out time to enjoy yourself. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Kaije Kolindu, Kolindu. Make out time to flex your money. Party the rock.
Fire, fire,
oh, the blow. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock for my village, everybody will rock up your ass. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock, no bodani. Party the rock for my area, everybody will rock up your ass. Nigerian music, don't they go, obodo ibo.
African music, he done they go all over the world.
You call us for high life, you call us for hip hop, you call us for rock, you call us for rambio, and they dance up for Sokoto, and they dance up for Toronto. It is scatter everywhere, for your dance with your baby.
Celebration time, make we jolly, umunepu honey, no game red. This one now is Olingo style, yeah. It's the whisper, you be a kwala no sorry.
Kaije kolindu, kolindu,
kaije kolindu, kolindu. Kaije kolindu, kolindu, make our time to enjoy yourself. Kaije kolindu, kolindu, kaije kolindu, kolindu, kaije kolindu, kolindu, make our time to flex your money. Party day rock,
fire, fire, all
the boys in the blow,
fire, fire.
Party day rock,
fire, fire,
all the girls in the blow,
fire, fire.
Party day rock,
fire, fire,
all the boys in the blow,
fire, fire.
Let's go.
Love is a beautiful feeling, my brother. Hey. Love is a beautiful feeling, my sister. Hey. In the turning in the sugar, in the sweet like blood in a butter. Oh, yeah, carry your baby, they come. My party, aqua whistling.
Sonita, Ekaite. Steady to my groove, it's going down. Yo, Anqua, no delay.
Okunala, baby, to the dance.
Party day.
Take me out to it, eh. Be like say you don't juju me. Be like say you don't call me. Be like say you don't juju me. Be like say you don't call me. Your sexy body, baby, driving me so crazy. I'm in love with your everything. Your sexy body driving me so crazy. I'm in love with your everything. So, mamacita, come closer, baby, make we dance to this beat. Mamacita, come closer, make we dance to this beat. Sexy mama, you are wounding my mind, yeah. Wounding my mind, yeah. Sexy mama, you don't take me out away. Sile, 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 out away. Don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, catch you, baby girl. You don't catch you me, catch you me. Catch you, catch you, yeah.
I'm on it, I'll be the hunter. That's all you, the hunger. I'll be you one turn with the pizza. Boy, follow me for Twitter. Man, I make you the treat me like a boy.
Time bomb, ready for explode. She dey move like a time bomb. She wanna explode. Shorty move like a time bomb. Ready for explode. Time bomb. Time bomb.
She move like a
time bomb.
She wanna explode.
Time bomb. Time bomb.
Time bomb.
Time bomb.
She wanna explode.
Your man.
woman don't come around. I want pretty ladies all around me. That sexy girl with a bad physique. I've never seen a girl like you. 10 to 1, that's the countdown. She's about to explode and can't stop fusion. My girl, she's bad, she's number one. I've never seen a girl like you. That girl,
I tell you, she be time bomb. Boom, don't stop, boogie, baby, why not? Hey, your body, they define her. This guy and boogie, no be minor.
No, no,
this body be designer. Some girl fine, but you find her.
See?
Continue to wind up. Cause me never seen a girl like you.
Now let go, wine.
Time bomb.
My body fire.
Time bomb.
She my desire.
Time bomb.
She make me lose control.
Explosion.
She sexy, but sexy Nina.
Time bomb.
She came with her friend called Sabrina.
Time bomb.
Don't stop, sister Nina.
Time bomb.
Baby, go low. I just wanna love you. Share with me your problems. Girl, you are the type of girl a bad man need. I just wanna love you. Share with me your problems. Girl, you are the type of girl a bad man feel. Lean on me. My girl, you are the only one for me. You're the only thing I see. Lean on me. Oh, you are the only one for me. You're the only thing I see. Yeah.
Bumper overload. Type of bumper with black road. Just the sight of bumper make me feel so good. My soul food. Me and someone but trying to walk out fast. Got some ogu. I make serious, I know they joke. You make man confused, I know if you go. The motion about me to a mean some about you. Hey, no between us.
Yes, that was our Saturday Music Spot. Once it started here at Nile in Africa, we give you wonderful music from across the continent. And now the Saturday commentary by Dr. Suleiman Yang, Professor of African Studies and Comparative Politics at Howard University in Washington. Take it away, Dr. Yang.
Hello, Africa. It's always a pleasure for me to take advantage of the opportunity to share my reflections about America's policy towards Africa and to examine African opinions on and attitudes toward the United States. Every passing week, I pay close attention to the headlines in Africa, and I also look at how the American media is covering Africa. As we come out of the Africa Summit, in the midst of reports, threatening reports about Ebola in West Africa. And of course, we are still suffering from the consequences of Ebola. But today, I take full advantage of the opportunity to reflect on post-Africa Summit and the implication for the Obama administration and for all of us who are looking at America's policies towards Africa. In the minds of anyone who is looking at President Obama as he moves in the second term of his presidency, the key issue that is going to come out in the minds of thinking people would be legacy, legacy, legacy. Stupid. This mantra should be repeated. Legacy, legacy, legacy. Stupid. As we move forward, we are challenged by history to make a careful assessment of events, personalities, and consequences of the Africa Summit. This becomes the first point of departure in my analysis. The second point deals with homegrown American solution to global problems in the United States and beyond. Here, the question of race relations, job security, and law and order in America and beyond. And the last point that needs to be addressed here as the third force or the third factor is President Obama and the new post-Bushian phenomena of land-grabbing terrorism in the world. Let me begin with a careful assessment of the summit that came and went. First of all, there was great anticipation about the summit and what it was going to do for the African countries, because it gave them the opportunity for the first time to sit face to face with the President of the United States, the most powerful country in the West. And it was a golden opportunity for the African leaders to also to come to the United States, meet with the president, members of his cabinet, those who advised him at the White House, and to meet with leaders of the Congressional Black Caucus and all the other leaders serving in the Congress. Unfortunately, this was not fully done, in my opinion. And there are journalists, broadcasters, people blogging, and others who can analyze this phenomenon with regard to a careful assessment of the events, personalities, and consequences of the summit. The second issue really is homegrown solution to global problems in America and beyond. One of the challenging issues of President Obama is historical and contemporary. The resurgence of race tension in America is not good news for all of us, because you see, when President Obama came, many sociologists, many political scientists, many observers of American society were talking about a post-racial America. What happened in Ferguson in Missouri is an echo of what happened when Americans were celebrating the 100th anniversary of Lincoln, who came from Princeville, Illinois, where Obama made his announcement that he was going to run for presidency. This is how history turns around and tried to affect us. In 1906, at that particular time, in the life of Du Bois, for example, if you're familiar with Du Bois, was an African-American activist whose life is very interesting with regard to things that parallels the life of Obama and the lives of King and many other people who are prominent today as African-Americans. But what is very interesting now with regard to homegrown American solutions to global problems in America and beyond, this is where the question of race relations, job security, and law and order come together. And President Obama is dealing with these three issues. During his presidency, he made a famous speech in Philadelphia, which worked in his favor because he was able to outwit his rivals in the Democratic Party and won the election against distinguished senator from Arizona, McCain. So that was to his credit, that Americans were beginning to think beyond race. Lo and behold, soon after the Africa summit, we had a crisis in the Midwest, which brought back the memory that happened to America when they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of Lincoln's liberation of the blacks. That was when it happened in that particular moment, when you had a big riot in Springfield, Illinois, the hometown of Lincoln, and many blacks were killed then, that blacks who died this time around in Ferguson. So for that reason, when you're looking at President Obama and the American experience, the imperative for all of us to pay attention to homegrown American solutions to American problems and global problems. This is where we have to pay close attention to what was the legacy of that summit. What are the implications? Did the African leadership perform well? Well, the jury is out, and I'm waiting for narratives from scholars, journalists, bloggers, and all of us who are active in the interfaith movement and in the civil societies around the world. That's the way it is today.
Thank you, Dr. Nyang.
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America.
And from the rest of the Nightline team, we thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Douglas Mpoga.
And I'm Odette Frazier. Have a good evening.
Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaks to VOA on the Ebola crisis.
I would want the people in West Africa to know that Ebola is real. Ebola kills. Early detection and prompt treatment can save lives. And I'm asking our people not to victimize or stigmatize survivors. Ebola is a challenge, but together we'll all be able to overcome it.
That was Sia Nyama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaking to VOA Africa on the Ebola crisis.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Security forces in South Sudan shut down a prominent independent radio station and detained its news director for 4 days over its coverage of renewed fighting between government troops and anti-government rebels. It's the latest example of efforts by South Sudanese authorities to close the public space in their troubled nation and is unacceptable in a democracy. Juba-based Bakito Radio, part of a network of community radio stations sponsored by the Roman Catholic Church, was ordered off the air August 16th, and news director Osen David Nicholas held by the National Security Service until August 20th. Three others from the radio station were also briefly held. A South Sudanese government spokesman said the station will remain off the air until officials are able to meet with managers to discuss its news coverage. The action was taken, he said, because the station had exceeded its mandate as a religious broadcasting organization, and its coverage of a recent outbreak of violence had compromised national security. The report in question was a response to a Government of South Sudan press statement concerning fighting over the weekend in Unity State. In the news report, Radio Bakita quoted a rebel statement published in the Sudan Tribune contradicting the government's version of events. Several journalists have been detained in similar incidents since the fighting started in December, creating an atmosphere that human rights groups have described as one of fear and intimidation. The United States is monitoring the situation closely and has made its concerns known about restrictions to the freedoms of expression and association in South Sudan. We urge the government to respect fundamental freedoms and to fully adhere to its international obligations and commitments and constitutional guarantees.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.